At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And what it do, boys and girls? Let's get it going, huh? Let's get it going, huh? What's going on? It's a beautiful Thursday. It's a bit overcast here in Phoenix, Arizona. A little bit of rain, but that ain't never hurt nobody. We're going to get into the college football slate for this weekend. Maybe talk a little bit about the Thursday night game that we got coming up here in about an hour. I don't know if I'm going to watch much of it. I think I know how it's going to go. I can't remember if it's at the Link or if it's in the Meadowlands. I have a feeling it's at the Link, but I can't confirm that to be fact. And I don't know, man. It's pro football. It's a division game. We might be a bit surprised. We might have Mr. Jackson Dart come out and eat. I would really love to see that. We might see A.J. Brown, who has been pretty upset with the way things are going in Philly, even though they're 4-1. We might see him eat tonight. I think he's due for it. We saw Jalen finally start pushing the ball down the field last week, and maybe they'll do it again, but it's the first game that Jalen Hurts is finally able to push the football down the field, and they lose. So I don't know if you'd want to repeat a game plan where you lost, but who doesn't want their quarterback to push the ball downfield? I don't know. I've got Pop Warner practice on Thursdays with my 8U kids. So typically, sometimes on Thursdays we'll work the offense. And so that's a little lighter day for me because my focus is on the defense. So sometimes on Thursdays I'm able to pull my phone out, check in on the game. But I'm not sure if this is a game that'll be worth checking in on. I hope I'm wrong. Okay, we got plenty of other things to talk about today. Trade happened today in the NFL that I thought was pretty significant, that some people, I guess, kind of overlooked. More talk about Bill Belichick at UNC. We'll figure out if he's going to be able to even finish the season with the Tar Heels or not. And a lot of coaches in the NFL, a lot of coaches in college football finally starting to that cushion on their butt in that seat. For a couple of them, it's starting to heat up a little bit. It's starting to get a little hot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. When I'm sitting in the car and it's a January morning in Phoenix, maybe it's like 45 degrees, I like it when my seat gets warmed up a little bit. I like how it feels, but what, you know, sometimes it gets too hot and you got to get up out of there, or the forces of nature force you up out of there. That's what's going on with some of these coaches in college football and pro right now. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that, some potential replacements. I want to just take today, because I don't know if I really want to hit on the Thursday night game too heavy. I thought today we would just take a look at the college football games that we've got going on this week. We're really getting into the thick of it, where we're going to figure out who's who. And we saw, I saw a clip from Cam Newton's show, 4th and 1. Shout out to that show, by the way. That was part of the inspiration to start our show in terms of the structure and how they talk about things. Big shout out to Cam Newton and the 4th and 1 show. But I saw a clip from that show today where they show a clip of Dave Portnoy saying that the age, it's not basically what Dave said. And Portnoy is a big Michigan fan. Okay. And listen, before I get into this, I understand the delusion of being a fan. I live that every day following the Cincinnati Bengals. I still feel delusional thinking that Joe Flacco could maybe take us where we need to go by the time Joe Burrow gets back. But we've talked about that the last 2 days. I've aired that out. We don't have to get into that. I just wanted to touch on the delusion that comes with being a fan. I get it. And Dave Portnoy was definitely delusional in what he said. He gets on a camera. He's wearing all his Michigan gear. And he's saying, it's not the college football of 10 years ago. Basically saying, the SEC is no longer king. And his Michigan Wolverines could take anybody down in college football. Cam Newton responded. And he said, I can't read. Basically, what Cam said was Michigan wouldn't even be the 6th best team in the SEC. Michigan wouldn't even be as good as Vanderbilt. And I got to agree with Cam. I think it's very clear as we look at things in the college season so far that the SEC is still king. And I think that's an objective statement. I grew up in an SEC town. I hope there's not any bias veiling over my stream of consciousness here when I talk about the SEC. But the SEC is still the premier conference in college football, top to bottom. You cannot say that Florida wouldn't go in and run the table in the Big Ten. Maybe they lose to Ohio State, but who else in the Big Ten does Florida lose to? Who in the Big Ten does Texas A&M lose to? I think the answer for every school is probably Ohio State, and that's about it. You've got Oregon. They're a good program, but I don't think that they play with the physicality that a Georgia plays with. You got the Illinois Fighting Illini at number 17. Apparently, Indiana kicked their ass a couple weeks ago, but they had a really good response game. And so now they play Ohio State, I believe, in Columbus. We'll get into all this, by the way. Why don't we just jump into it? We'll jump right into the meat of the show here. College football, week 7. First game we got up. And this one's one worth looking at. This South Carolina at LSU game. I remember the South Carolina LSU game last year in Columbia, and it was a hell of a game. I remember watching it on my phone while I was showering for some reason. I remember that. And it was back and forth. I think it went to overtime, or it was close to going to overtime. I remember somebody's kicker missed a couple special teams mishaps. LSU blocked a punt or two. It was a hell of a game. But South Carolina is fighting to stay alive right now. They had big expectations preseason. And Lenore Sellers, quite frankly, at least in my eyes, has not lived up to the hype yet. And LSU, it desperately needs this win. They're at home. They're in Death Valley. They desperately need to win this game. Brian Kelly desperately needs to win this game. I've said this before on the show. I do not think that Brian Kelly is a good fit in Baton Rouge. I do not think he's liked by the fans. And I do think that Brian Kelly struggles with taking accountability in his press conferences. There's a lot of internal finger pointing at LSU right now. And typically, 10 times out of 10, when you have internal finger pointing in a football program, it's not going well. I've heard rumors that Garrett Nussmeier, LSU's quarterback, is struggling with some injuries and has been since fall camp. When I watch him, it looks like he's not really following through on his throws. It looks like half his body isn't working sometimes. And again, it's rumored. This isn't fact. It's rumored that he's been hurt since fall camp. I think Brian Kelly's one of the coaches in college football on the hot seat right now. Expectations can be a bitch. And this LSU defense is humming. But their offense can't bust a grape. And they had a great running back in number 29, Durham. I don't know where he's been. I'm sure he's hurt. Smaller running back. But, God, that guy packs a punch. He's fast. And they come out in week one and beat Clemson on the road, and everyone thought that was a cornerstone, huge win. And now Clemson's ass, probably because they have professors that celebrated the death of Charlie Kirk, and they didn't fire him. Sorry. So, LSU's also got a brutal schedule coming up. And I'm saying this about every program in the SEC. Every program I talk about in the SEC seems like they have a brutal schedule coming up. And so how can you even compare being in the Big Ten to being in the SEC? How can you compare it? When you're in the Big Ten, some weeks you might have Northwestern. Some weeks you might have Purdue, unranked Wisconsin. They've been a good program before. It seems like they haven't really, I haven't heard a lot about Wisconsin this year. You know what I mean? Top to bottom, there's no gimme games in the SEC. Alabama, this is on the thumbnail of the episode today. Alabama's got a road game at Missouri that seems like a trap game. You know what I'm saying? Birds in the trap game. And we'll talk about that one here in a little bit. But I'll have my eyes on this LSU-South Carolina game for sure. Not just because of how much fun I had watching it last year, but both teams have a lot at stake. Both coaches seem to kind of – I think Brian Kelly's probably more on the hot seat than Shane Beamer is for South Carolina. And Brian Kelly, I think expectations are what's killing him. But also, and I've heard other podcasts, by the way, I love when I make a take on this show and then a week later I see a clip on YouTube Shorts from a bigger show saying exactly what I said the week before. And I'm seeing that about Brian Kelly. His lack of likability. He seems to just not fit in with the culture. Again, I talked about this last week. I don't know what happened with Coach O at LSU because he was the perfect fit. Culturally, personality-wise, he's a great recruiter. At least he was in the prior phase of college football. And that's a big thing that's going on right now with older coaches that have had success in past lives. We're talking about Bill Belichick not even finishing the season with North Carolina. They announced this fucking Hulu documentary that's not happening anymore. Apparently, Belichick told parents, or somebody on Belichick's behalf, told parents of the North Carolina players, don't talk to me. And so once again, man, PUSSY is undefeated. It's undefeated. And, you know, it'd be easy for me to blame the girlfriend. It's easy for everyone in the media probably to blame the girlfriend for Bill Belichick's lack of success in college football. But I just don't think I think a lot of these older coaches have just fallen behind. It's not personal. It's nothing merit-based on their part. Pete Carroll's having a lot of struggles in NFL and with the Vegas Raiders right now. There's a lot of variables that go into it. But I think when Bill went into this, he looked at it like, well, this is basically the pro game in college. We can construct rosters like we did in the NFL and all that jazz. But what's happening, I believe, with North Carolina and Bill is that he's trying to coach guys the way he's always coached them. And why would he not with the success he's had? And I don't think it works with college kids today in the situation that we're in college football. And before I move on to the next game, I wanted to mention something else. Get my note sheet here. I thought when I saw this on Twitter today, I saw it from an account that, you know, it was like JPA football. It was like a engagement farming type of account that sometimes posts things that aren't fully true to get engagement. I remember getting a text from one of my buddies back in the summertime. And the text contained a tweet from ML Football talking about how Shamar Stewart was going to go back to college and that the Bengals were going to be the first organization in NFL history to waste a first-round draft pick, completely waste it, not get anything out of him. And I responded to him and I said, you got any other sources saying that? It's important to check your source. And we later found that that wasn't true. So when I saw that the NCAA is mulling over, and I don't know what goes into this, by the way, but I saw yesterday from a JPA football, you know, kind of engagement baiting account that the NCAA was mulling over allowing student athletes to bet on sports. I don't think they could bet on their own games, but I think they could bet pro football. And I was like, this is fake. You know, this is engagement farming. This is fake. And I responded to the tweet saying that it was fake. And then somebody who I don't know responded to me with an article from the NCAA, I guess, announcing that they were rumbling this over. So, and I can't even read my own handwriting here. It says the NCAA is thinking about removing restrictions on pro sports gambling for student athletes. So you're giving kids money that don't have financial literacy anyway. I've talked about this numerous times, but let's say that I had darker skin and I ran a 4.4 and I could bench 800 pounds and I was a student athlete at Auburn making good money. I shouldn't have said the darker skin comment. I'm sorry. You guys get what I'm saying, though. God didn't make me in terms of physical prowess to be a Lamborghini. You know, he made me more as like a Chevy Colorado. You know what I mean? But let's say you put me back at age 18 and I'm making 500 grand as a freshman at Auburn. I wasn't that good. Even if I was in college today, I wouldn't probably be making anything close to that as a college athlete. Okay, but let's say I was. I was raised by a financial advisor, my father. His father was a financial advisor. And then his father, before him, my great-granddaddy, was a financial advisor. or some variation of that. They've all been in the financial services industry. Even at age 18, you're talking about me, fourth generation, I would have no faith in myself at 18 to make good financial decisions. Because your damn brain ain't developed, boy. You got, as a male, you got 7 more years for your brain to fully develop. So you're damn straight, even with the background I have. If you put me in that position at age 18, making that kind of money, I'm not going to make the best decisions. And I know these programs are trying to be proactive with like bringing people like that in the building, you know, financial advisors, people like that into the building to talk to them about good decision making and financial literacy. I'd imagine that football programs might, some might be, the good ones might be mandating kids to go through financial literacy courses. And they should. But you're telling me that we think it's a good decision to let college athletes bet on pro sports. It's like putting liquor stores in the hood. It's not going to go well, dude. It's not going to go well. And I know when I was in college, I'm way past being facing any repercussions for what I'm about to say. But when I was a college football player, I did have a bookie. I would place bets every now and then, but I wasn't doing it. I did it maybe twice or three times because I was so scared. Okay. Nowadays, you've got FanDuel, you've got DraftKings, you've got MGM, you've got Fanatics, you've got tons of other sports books I can't even think of, where you got to put in your social security number, you got to put in your legal name. So it was actually easier when I was a college athlete to get away with that stuff than it is now. By far. So when you look at it objectively, and then I'll get back to the college football games for this week. When you look at it objectively, I think what the NCAA's thought process is that these kids are going to do this anyway. And that's why I tell my story. Because some of us, if we wanted to, we did it anyway. But what I'm saying that's different now is that you can catch these kids doing this. There's more accountability now that sports betting is more widely accessible and better documented now that it's legal in most states. So why, again, would we give the players, the athletes, this power when they do not need it? If we're not careful, if the NCAA is not proactive, if the universities are not proactive, which I don't think they have been, we might see this whole thing crumble. And I hope to God I'm wrong. We might see this whole thing crumble. And if college football doesn't figure out a way to level out the playing field and add some checks and balances to this whole system right now, it's going to bleed into pro football. Hell, I saw an Instagram post with all these big ladies playing football yesterday. You know, there's some women's football league. Hell, that might be what the only thing we have to watch in 20 years if we're not careful. Only thing we might have to watch is ladies playing a nine technique, putting their outside foot forward instead of their inside foot. You know? So that's my rant about that. I have no idea. I literally saw this headline yesterday about the NCAA allowing student athletes potentially to be able to gamble on pro sports, and I thought it was fake. And to my dismay, apparently it's fucking real. It's absolute insanity right now. So anyway, let's get back into week 7. We just covered South Carolina at LSU. We got Florida at Texas A&M. I believe A&M's coach's name's Mike Elko. Serious football coach leading a serious program. And frankly, the Texas A&M alumni I meet, they're all pretty weird. I know one that's cool. He's a former boss of mine. But that's about it. You know, Texas A&M people, they got this culty kind of feel to them. My alma mater, Samford University, is going to College Station to play them in November. And my Samford Bulldogs are 0-6. Worst state I've seen this program in ever. And we're headed down. I'm going to go to that game with my boys to College Station. Samford's got them in November, and I'm pretty scared. Because this A&M team is for real. Their quarterback, named Marcel Reed, he's made great strides the last couple weeks. You see him getting better and better week to week. He's orchestrating this offense. A&M's got two dynamic receivers, and they've got a running back in Reuben Owens that looks healthy again. It sounds like he was struggling with some issues physically there for a little bit. And apparently he's looking healthy again, and this A&M team is rolling. I mentioned this last week, but I took Mississippi State, who I think is a great team. I took the points because I saw a 17.5 point spread against A&M last week, and A&M just ran over them, and I lost my money. So that was a personal testament to how I feel, like this A&M team's coming along. Florida obviously had a great bounce back game last week, but I think it's common knowledge at this point that Texas is just not very good. I got Texas and A&M confused. Texas is on down the list here. Oklahoma's playing Texas. Sorry about that. Texas is not very good, though. But A&M is. Oh, it's been a fun day today, boys. I that's why I'm drinking coffee here. I'm a little laggy. Apologies for that. So that'll be a really fun one. You see Florida off of a bounce back game. See how they beat a Texas team that is not very good, in my opinion. And maybe that's why they came up in my mind there. But they go to College Station. I'm surprised at how well Florida played last week. Obviously, Billy Napier's fighting for his job, and they're coming down a gauntlet. I think Florida's got A&M this. I know they've got A&M this week. I think they've got Mississippi State after that, and then Georgia after that. Can you imagine a Big Ten team with schedules like this? It doesn't happen. It's not the same. SEC is still king. We got Kansas at Texas Tech. Kansas, they had a nice, tough win against University of Central Florida last week. Texas Tech looks to be the class of the Big 12 right now. It's Texas Tech and Arizona State in the class of the Big 12 right now to me. Top two teams in that conference. And I think Texas Tech is a true top 10, maybe top 5 team. And they had a resounding win over Houston this past week. So look for Texas Tech to continue to roll, but Kansas, they might put up a fight. They might put up a fight. It's interesting to look at college teams coming off of tough victories. Do they rest on their laurels and get complacent and maybe a little bit of tiredness from tough emotional wins? Or do they respond and play even better the next week? That'll be something to look for watching this Kansas team go to Lubbock, Texas to play the Red Raiders with their new logo. I wonder if they're going to unveil the new logo now or if it's going to be next season. I didn't look up the details on that. But again, I wish they stuck with their old logo, Texas Tech. Okay, Michigan at USC. They head to Los Angeles, California in what looks like a must win for Lincoln Riley. I do not think, if you're the USC Trojans, that you can allow a freshman quarterback to come into your house and beat you. Again, it's kind of hard to think about a USC and how they would fare in the SEC. It's hard to think about a Michigan and how they would fare in the SEC. But that's La La Land. We're talking about real life here. We got Michigan going on the road to Southern Cal. I think Lincoln Riley is a great offensive coordinator. I do not know if he's got what it takes to be the head man there. We'll see. That'll be an interesting one. There's a lot of interesting games this week. We got Georgia at Auburn. I think Hugh Freeze could cool down his seat a little bit with a win here. I think that's probably a pretty obvious statement. It's the oldest rivalry in college football. I didn't know that until I read that this morning. One of the oldest rivalries in college football, and it makes sense. Auburn being in eastern Alabama, right there close to Georgia. The oldest rivalry in college football. I think Georgia gets it done. Auburn's offense just looks bad. They look putrid. They don't look worth a can of corn offensively. And so I got Georgia in that one. Georgia, they play fast. They play physical. They're a true playoff team. Even with that loss to Bama 2 weeks ago, I got Georgia on the road at Auburn winning that one. And Hugh Freeze's seat continues to get hotter. Oklahoma at Texas. The Red River rivalry going down in Dallas. There's a chance old John Mateer comes back and plays this week. Does he come out in the trench coat and psych everybody out in warm-ups? I know Oklahoma's holding that close to the chest on his status with his throwing thumb, John Mateer, arguably one of the Heisman frontrunners right now. That Oklahoma offense dramatically improves when he's out there. And I think even if Mateer's only at 75%, you're going to see this Oklahoma offense be significantly better. They've also got some elite pass rushers there, Oklahoma. And if Texas chooses to start Arch Manning, I think he's going to get hit a lot in this game. I don't think Texas is a good team. I think Steve Sarkisian's seat will continue to get hotter. And again, it's not like this is a bad Sarkisian-run Texas program. I think the expectations are what do it. High expectations going into preseason. You're talking about a preseason number one who's now unranked. So I don't think that he's running a bad program over there. I think the expectations are making it look a lot worse than it is. I think a guy with the last name Manning that comes in and doesn't play up to the hype is a big part of this. I hope I'm not being too obvious with what I'm saying. But again, if that Oklahoma pass, that Oklahoma pass rush with Arch, Arch does not seem mobile. We've seen Arch get out and run the ball well against teams like UTEP or some of the other Catholic high school competition he played when he was at Newman High School in New Orleans. But we have yet to see Arch really look mobile or even functionally agile against defenses like Florida's or Ohio State's. And he takes a lot of sacks, and he doesn't seem very mobile. So this Oklahoma pass rush is going to give Arch big problems. I didn't look at any of the Vegas spreads for these games. Probably should have. But I'd imagine that Oklahoma is at least 7-point favorites, 7.5-point favorites in this game, if I had to guess. There might be some value there if Oklahoma walks Mateer out there to play. I don't know if they will. But it is the Red River rivalry, which blows my mind that this is now an SEC game. I still don't think I've really accepted Texas and Oklahoma as SEC programs. Oklahoma's a great team right now, though. They're a good bunch to have in the SEC. I don't know if I could say the same about Texas right now. It looks like Texas's running game is really struggling as well. And that's probably because teams aren't really respecting Arch. They can kind of know that they have the passing game handled. And it kind of makes it one-dimensional. It's kind of like the opposite of the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, they got no run game, so people don't respect that. And they play the pass every play, and it's pretty easy jobs thus far. Hope that's different with Joe Flacco. Okay, moving on. Ohio State at Illinois. I mentioned this game earlier. Illinois is not great at stopping the run. I think if Illinois wants to make this competitive, they have to keep Ohio State's offense off the field. They got to keep the possession of the ball. They've got to chew clock, which means they've got to establish the run. They cannot get into a shootout with Ohio State. They cannot. I see Ohio State winning this probably handily. But again, Illinois is number 17 in the country, respectable program. They had a great bounce-back game last week. So, again, it'll be interesting to see, do these guys rest on their laurels or do they come out competitive, hungry, ready to give this Ohio State team everything they got? I don't think so. I think Ohio State wins that handily. Here is the game of the week to me, and that's Alabama at Missouri. You got a really good Missouri team. I haven't watched them this year, but from what I hear about them in the media, they've got a transfer quarterback from Penn State, Bo Prabhula, the quarterback that Happy Valley wishes they had. I've been hearing, to kind of sidetrack for a second about Penn State, I've been hearing some insiders who are familiar with Penn State saying that there's email threads going around to Penn State donors and alumni, and they're raising money. They're trying to raise money to get James Franklin fired and subsequently bought out. They are not happy with Penn State after losing to Oregon in Happy Valley and then losing to UCLA on the road the very next week. People are not happy. They want James Franklin gone. And I think that Dan Mullen, who to my surprise early in the year when I watched UNLV versus UCLA, is the head coach of the UNLV. What's the freaking mascot? I can't remember UNLV's mascot. There's not the Raiders. No. UNLV. Damn it. I can't remember UNLV's. But Dan Mullen's the head coach at UNLV, living life out in Las Vegas. I think he'd be a great fit for that Penn State job if they were able to fire James Franklin, buy him out. But anyways, Penn State transfer Bo Prabhula, playing some good football for Missouri. Apparently their passing game is still a little shaky. They lean on their star running back. What's his name? Armad Hardy. And he looks to be one of the best players in the whole country. This is a trap game for Alabama. They're coming off two highly emotional wins against Georgia 2 weeks ago and then Vandy last week. And now they find themselves playing a noon kickoff game in Columbia, Missouri. This is a trap game for Alabama. We're going to really see what this Alabama program's made up under Kalen DeBoer watching this Alabama-Missouri game at noon Eastern, I believe, on Saturday in Columbia, Missouri. Ty Simpson's playing great. This Alabama team looks like they finally put something together. But this is a trap game. Trap, 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 trap. My ankle monitor beeping. Haven't been charged. So, that's the game of the week to me. That one will be fun. Another one that people are arguing is the game of the week this week. Oregon at Indiana. Indiana is probably the Cinderella story of college football this year. They are humming under Kirk Cignetti. I don't think Indiana's got enough speed to hang in this game. I think Indiana puts up a good fight. They definitely have a chance to win, especially due to the fact that I believe, let me think. I can't remember if it's in Bloomington or Eugene. I want to say it's in Eugene, but I could be wrong. And I don't have access to the Google machine right now, so I'm not sure where that game is. My notes say at Indiana, but I think I remember seeing that it's in Eugene. But I got Oregon in that one. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know. For whatever reason, I've just always kind of... I don't have negative feelings about Oregon. I'm just kind of like, you know... They got the nice uniforms, and they got Nike in town, but, you know... Could they hang in the SEC? I don't think so. Okay. Let's see what else we've got here. So that's the rundown. Oh, and we also got Arizona State at Utah. I forgot about that one. Arizona State is also going to kind of look to be the class of the Big 12 here. I just noticed my iPhone battery's low, too. I might have to cut you guys loose. Oh, we're at 42 minutes, so that's good. Apparently, there's going to be thunderstorms in Utah, and I saw clips of Arizona State quarterback Sam Leavitt being sprayed by a hose as he is throwing in reps on air by Arizona State's head coach. So that'll be interesting watching a desert team potentially play in the rain. But they seem to be the class of the Big 12. They've got a chance to make the playoff again this year. But they've got to win games like this in order to do that. Trying to see what else we got. I think the hottest seat in the NFL right now is Mike McDaniels. And you see Tua Tagovailoa talking to the media saying that regardless of the outcome of the games, he gets to go home to his family. Comments like that tell me it's over in Miami. And the other thing, too, I hear the things that Tua says to the media. And it's clear this boy's like, y'all got to leave this guy alone, man. This boy's head ain't right. The way he's answering questions are just really... doesn't seem like he went through that Saban media training. Or maybe he wasn't listening. Maybe he wasn't paying attention during that Saban media training. Because some of the things that Tua says to the media this year, I'm kind of like, dude, this boy ain't right. Y'all gotta put the microphone away. Some people say that about me. But he's, you know, you can't say that in pro football. Regardless of the outcome, I'm going home to my family. It's over in Miami. They're in bad shape. So I was thinking about potential replacements for the Dolphins at head coach. And I was thinking Lane Kiffin would be a great candidate. Rex Ryan could be a good candidate. I wonder if Rex Ryan's style would work in football the way it is today. Because, he's one of those old heads, hard-nosed, hard coaching, that seems to not really be working these days, which sucks. I would love for hard coaching to make its way back, and I think it will at some point. I got hope. But Lane Kiffin, he seemed to have it all figured out in this age of football. Lane Kiffin would be a prime coach, but I do know that Lane loves Oxford. He loves where he's at in life. He loves the state of his program. I would love being in Oxford, Mississippi, coaching the number four team in the land, personally. I was just there 2 weeks ago. It's amazing atmosphere there. Real estate's high because the team's good. Obviously, you get to go down to Moe's Barbecue down at the square. And life is good for Lane Kiffin. So even if this Dolphins job comes open and Lane Kiffin's in the conversation, does he take it or does he turn it down? Does he have that itch to go coach in pro football? I don't know. But his name came into my mind as a potential candidate if Mike McDaniel got shit canned there for the Dolphins. Other news, transfer portal dates were announced January 2nd to 16, 2025. Playoff teams have 5 days after their last game. So if you're a kid on a college football playoff team and you decide you want to transfer, you got 5 days after the last game to figure out where you're going. And grad transfers, they'll wait. They got to wait until January 2nd to transfer. I think that's all we've got today. They got to continue to work on this transfer portal. I think that's one of the biggest glaring issues in college football. We talk about this a lot on the show. We've got to put more regulations around all this stuff. We've got to prioritize this or else our game will disintegrate in our hands onto the flow before we know. Okay, so I'm a little paranoid about my phone battery. This is a one-man production, and I shoot this on my iPhone. I just got an alert that my iPhone battery is low, and we're at about 47 minutes. So I think I'm going to cut you guys loose. We'll look forward to watching this game. I think the Thursday night game's happening here in the next 15, 20 minutes, so maybe cut you guys loose for that. Hope to see the Giants upset the Eagles, but I don't think it'll happen. Hope to see AJ Brown get more targets, but who the hell knows if that's going to happen. If AJ Brown doesn't go off tonight, does he request a trade? I can't imagine that, man. You're on one of the best teams in the NFL and you're unhappy. Get over it. I don't know what the guy's going through. I can't put myself in his skin. I can't put myself in that building. But you're playing a team sport, and your team's 4-1. Class of the NFL, arguably, right now. Just play, man. I don't give a shit if I get a reception all year. If my team wins, what more is there to worry about? It's a team game. All right, I'm going to let you guys go. Appreciate everybody popping in, all the love, everybody watching. And if I could take that inch and turn it into a mile, and I'll ask you guys for anything other than please subscribe to the channel. Really does us a lot of good. We continue to be the fastest growing football show in the world, grinding for you guys, showing up Monday through Friday at 6-ish, 7-ish Eastern. And we'll continue to show up. We'll be back tomorrow. I don't think we're going to do a Madden stream today. Just don't want to. But with that being said, we are working hard. We are showing up every day, and we are the fastest growing football channel in the land. So help us out. Hit that subscribe button. If you're seeing us in the shorts feed, that subscribe button should be right there. I think on the bottom of the screen. So just go ahead and hit that for us. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to come through the screen and bite you. We do this every day. And if you want to make your girlfriend learn a little bit about football, you can put our Spotify episode on. We update our audio platforms daily. We're working on maybe getting the video shows onto Spotify. I've got to lean into that, delve into that a little bit. But we are on every audio platform if you think of. If you like to listen to your podcasts on iHeartRadio, we're on there. If you like Audible, Amazon, we're on there. We're on all of them, and it's updated daily. So take a look at all that stuff. The main priority, though, is to grow here on YouTube. We also are live on Twitch and Kick, but those algorithms seem a little tougher to crack for whatever reason. So with that, we'll leave you guys and look forward to enjoying some Thursday night football. We'll get into the NFL games for the weekend tomorrow and then cruise on into the weekend. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Make sure and hit that subscribe button or else I might cry.